Morning. Man, there's a lot of people out here today. All right, that's a good thing. Amen. Amen. So let's keep Pastor in prayer, obviously. I'll let Mike talk more about it, but that's just a good reminder to have. So this morning, got a little something that the Lord gave to me. Found out last week that I was going to be up here this morning, so just bear with me and we'll get through this. The Sunday school hour, I think, is supposed to be I'm supposed to teach you guys something, right? I'm going to take a little liberty with that, and I'm just going to show you guys something that the Lord showed me a little while back. I went over this a little bit with the teens before, so some of you teens might get a little bit of a repeat, but the Lord really worked on me a bit in this passage. We're going to be in the book of Daniel this morning. I'm not going to do any deep dives into any doctrinal issues with Pastor gone. The last thing he needs is a bunch of questions when he gets back from something somebody said up here. So we're not going to do that. We're just going to see how we can spiritually apply this, right? You know, coming up here and filling this pulpit while he's gone is a serious thing. I don't think anybody's going to take it lightly. So just be praying for the people that are going to be up here. Sure. Right? It's going to help you. They need it. It's a lot different than junior church. Down there, we can have a little back and forth conversation. So if you guys decide you have questions and you want to raise your hand, I'm used to that, right? We can do that. But this morning, we're going to start in Daniel chapter 1. Before we get started, let's just go ahead and ask the Lord to bless this time. God, thank you for today. Lord, just thank you for all these folks that came here this morning. Lord, they came here expecting to hear something from you. So God, I just pray that you can just get me out of the way. Lord, they didn't come here to hear from Mike, but just fill me with your spirit, Lord. Give these folks something special for each one of them. And God, just bless this time. We're so thankful for it. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so Daniel chapter 1 and verse number 1. This isn't anything new that any of you guys haven't heard before, but I'm going to read these first couple verses anyways. It says, in the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, with part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried unto the land of Shinar, to the house of his gods. He brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God. And the king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of the eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel, and the king's seed, and of the princes, children in whom was no blemish, but well favored, and skillful in all wisdom, and cunning in knowledge, and understanding science, and such as had an ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed them daily provision of the king's meat and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king. Now among these were the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, unto whom the prince of the eunuch gave names. For he gave unto Daniel the name Belshazzar, and to Hananiah of Shadrach, and to Mishael of Meshach, and to Azariah of Abednego. So we've all heard this story before. This rich and powerful influence came into the land and took these young believers, we'll call them for today, right? Took these young men and tried to convert them into the godless Chaldeans. These Chaldeans were known for their idol worship, their knowledge of science and math and astrology. If they want to come up, you bet. Yeah. sorry, these Chaldeans, they're known for their idol worship, right? And their knowledge of astronomy, math, science, magic. They were the elitists of the time, right? They were the well-educated. We'll call them the worldly for this illustration, right? In verse number 4, it says, children who was no blemish, but well-favored and skillful in wisdom and cunning and knowledge and understanding and science and such had ability to stand in the king's place. Here's the important part. In whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans, of the world. They're taking these young men and they're trying to teach them these worldly things, right? We'll back up just a little bit. Here's your Sunday school part. The Bible references 3 times Babylon besieged Jerusalem over in 2 Kings. Let's turn over there. 2 Kings chapter 24. Second Kings 24 talks about these 3 times that Babylon besieged Jerusalem. The first one in 2 Kings 24, verse 1, it says, in his days Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came up, and Jehoiakim became his servant 3 years. Then he turned and rebelled against him. And the Lord sent against him bands of the Chaldees and bands of the Syrians and bands of the Moabites and bands of the children of Ammon and sent them against Judah to destroy it, according to the word of the Lord which he spoke by his servants and his prophets. This is the first time. And I was looking through here and I was trying to figure out when Daniel and his 3 friends got taken, right? And the Bible will give you the answers to everything you're looking for if you search it out, right? But there was a name in here, and they only changed a couple letters, so I got kind of confused because I didn't notice it. But this first siege is when they took Daniel and his friends. Because it says Jehoiakim was the king, and back there in Daniel 1:1, we saw that Jehoiakim was king at the time that Daniel got taken. The second siege is in verses number 8 through 10. It says Jehoiakim. See? They just changed a couple letters. When I was reading it real fast, I was like, this doesn't make sense. Because right there, he was 3 years. This time he's 8 years, but it's an N and not an M. So this is a different guy. So Jehoiakim was 8 years when he began to reign, and he reigned in Jerusalem 3 months. And his mother's name was Nehushta, the daughter of Elnathah of Jerusalem. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father had done. Verse number 10, at that time the servants of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came up against Jerusalem and the city was besieged. That's your second time. And then your third time is over in chapter 25, verse 1 and 2. And it came to pass in the 9th year of his reign, the 10th month and the 10th day of the month, that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came he and his hosts against Jerusalem and pitched against it. And they built forts round about, and the city was besieged unto the 11th year of Zedekiah. So 3 different times Nebuchadnezzar came and Babylon besieged the city, Jerusalem. I was looking at that, and then I started noticing all of these kings, every one of them did evil in the sight of the Lord. First you have Jehoiakim. In 2 Kings 23:37 says he did evil in the sight of the Lord. And then 2 Kings 24:9 says Jehoiakim did evil in the sight of the Lord. And then 2 Kings 24:19 says Zedekiah did evil in the sight of the Lord. The decisions of the leaders is what made these young believers get snatched up by the world. It was because of these people that were in charge, because of these leaders, that these young believers got snatched up by the world. Back to our text in Daniel, Daniel chapter 1. In verse number 4, the first thing they do when they take these kids is they start to teach them. They start to teach them the ways of the world, right? Can I say this morning that you need to be careful what you learn? You need to be careful what your kids are learning. If it doesn't come from this book, it's probably not worth learning, right? We all know that verse, knowledge puffeth up. We'll turn over there. Let's read that. Sunday school, right? You're going to turn a lot in your Bible, so hopefully you're okay with that. 1 Corinthians 8. In verse number 1, Paul's talking to the church at Corinth here. He says, now as touching things offered unto idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth. And if any man think that he knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing, yet as he ought to know. But if any man love God, the same is known of him. Knowledge puffeth up. Paul's telling the church at Corinth, you guys know a lot of things, but it's becoming divisive. It's becoming prideful. The things that you're learning are not edifying. It's not showing charity. It's becoming a source of pride. This knowledge is pride. It's a prideful knowledge. There's a reason the world wants to teach our kids, right? Just like there's a reason the Chaldeans wanted to teach these young believers their ways. Pride is the biggest enemy of God. Pride was the original sin. We all know the Satan's famous I wills, got him kicked out of heaven, right? Those led to Adam's I want to know. Adam was seeking that knowledge, right? What God was giving wasn't enough. The I wills led to the I want to know. Once you know everything, and once you've reached this elitist level of knowledge, you have no need for God anymore. You have no need for instruction. Everybody knows that guy at work, right? How many guys have you trained at work, right? And you're training the guy, and hey, this is how we do it. Oh, I know. I know. And then they go and they do it wrong. And hey, I told you this is what you need to do. Oh, well, we do it this way over there. No, I don't care how you do it over there. Right. We're over here. Oh, I know. I hate that. I hate it. I hate it more than anything else with new guys. Young people, if you go to a job, don't say, I know. Don't tell the people teaching you, I know. Don't do it. The more you say, I know, the more stupid you look. Right? Don't say, I know. We don't need that, right? Be careful your knowledge doesn't overshadow your charity. You can win an argument, but are you going to lose a soul? Yeah. Knowledge puffeth up. So what's next? So they want to teach them their ways, right? They want to change the way they think. They want to teach them their ways. Back to Daniel. Keep your place there. We're going to go back and forth. Back to Daniel. Verse number 5. So they want to teach them their ways. They want to teach them their tongue. And the king appoints them a daily provision of the king's meat and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years. And at the end thereof, they might stand before the king. He fed their mind. Now he wants to feed their flesh, right? Now he wants to satisfy. He wants to offer them pleasures that they've never had before. They've never experienced a nice, big, rare ribeye steak before, right? They've never had a glass of the king's wine, right? They want to offer them these worldly pleasures. This world's full of pleasure meant to distract us from our purpose. This world's trying to just keep us satiated. The less we need, the less we need to seek God. Just keep us satiated. We have no desire to seek the Lord, no desire to strengthen our relationship with Him. Got no desire to depend on Him if we're fully satisfied. Right? I know when I'm at work and after lunch, my productivity goes down. Right? If I'm at work and I'm hungry and I'm motivated and I'm doing stuff, and then you eat lunch and you just kind of want to take a nap. Right? I mean, after potluck, I bet a good majority of us like to take a nap. When you're full, your drive goes down. When you're satiated and you have no hunger, your drive and your energy goes down. Your seeking goes down. That's what the lust of the world wants to give us, right? 1 John. Keep your place in Daniel. We'll come back in a second. 1 John. First John chapter 2. You guys probably know where I'm going with this. Verse 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doth the will of God abide forever. You know, Daniel wouldn't defile himself with the king's meat. He purposed in his heart to not defile himself with the king's meat. Are we going to make that purpose? Or are we just going to consume that whenever we get a chance, right? We got our entertainment, king's meat, right? Got our social media, more of the king's meat. Got our greed and our lust. Oh, I need that. I want that. Oh, the king's meat, right? Are we just going to take it? Or are we going to have a purpose? Going to have a purpose to not defile ourselves, the king's meat. While we're in a food coma from the king's meat, we have no desire to see God. We have no drive, no will. We're satiated. Because the king's meat's everywhere. Just take it, be full, right? Just take of the king's meat. Go back to Daniel. So he wanted to teach them. Wanted to change the way they talk. Wanted to change what they ate. Give them the lusts of the world. And then he wanted to change their names. I really don't like how we all know of Daniel and his three friends as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Yeah. That really bothers me.
Yeah.
But I've done it too. Whenever I talk about Daniel, it's Daniel and his three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The devil's changed their names for good. But that's not the names that they started with. That's not the names that they were given. They were given these names by their parents to remind them of who God was. So they wouldn't forget who they are. You know what Daniel means? Daniel means God is my judge. And they changed it to Belshazzar. You know what Belshazzar means? The prince of Baal, a heathen god. Changing his names. You know what Hananiah means? God has been gracious. God has been gracious. His parents gave him that name so he wouldn't forget, right? You know what Shadrach means? The servant of sin. You know, we all have a name that we've been given, right? Michel means who is equal to God. And Meshach means the shadow of the prince. Azariah means God has helped. And Abednego means servant of Ishtar. Ishtar was a Babylonian goddess. They changed their names. Tried to make them forget. Tried to make them forget who they were. Is this water for me? Yeah. This one? Thank you. Appreciate that. You know, the world's doing the same thing all the time. It's trying to make you forget who you are. It's trying to do it to our kids. It's a dangerous game that this world's playing. Got to be careful what you learn. Got to be careful that king's meat that you're taking in, right? The Chaldeans wanted them to forget who they were. If you're saved in here this morning, that means that you've been born again, right? That means that your name's changed. You went from a sinner to a saint. You went from hell-bound to holy. Praise the Lord. Right? You went from lost to life everlasting. Your name's been changed. But the world wants you to forget that. I think a good question to ask ourselves sometimes is, who am I? I know there's a lot of young people in here that are trying to figure that out, right? There's a lot of young people in here that are at that age and they're trying to figure out who they are and where they're going, what defines them, right? And us as older people, we got to revisit that question sometimes too.
Sure.
Who am I? Have I forgotten my name? Does the world know me by another name? What do people call you? Hopefully it's not forever forgotten, like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. If you're struggling with that question, who am I? Maybe you've taken too much of that king's meat. Maybe you need to lay off of those worldly pleasures, those worldly lusts. Put down the knife and fork for a minute. Set that aside and make a purpose. Make a purpose in your heart. I've got a couple more verses I want to share with you to try to remind you of who you are. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. We're his workmanship this morning, right? We're not the workmanship of the Chaldeans, of what the world wants to grow us into. We're his workmanship. His workmanship created under Christ Jesus. Psalms 139. Verse 14, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. Are we praising the Lord this morning? Are we praising Him? For we are fearfully and wonderfully made. Have you been born again this morning? Do you have that second name? If not, I pray today's the day you can find out who you are, who God meant for you to be. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works. This one's my favorite. Philippians chapter 1. Probably be good if I marked all my spots, right? Philippians chapter 1 and verse number 6. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Being confident of this very thing. Christ started a work in all of us. If you're saved this morning, if you have a new name, Christ started a work in you. And he's not going to quit. Don't quit on him. Ask yourself that question. Who am I? What's my name? Have you put him aside? He's still trying to work on you. He's still trying to work on you. God's never going to quit on his creation. Fearfully and wonderfully made. It's who we are. Let me tell you this morning, you're not your education. You're not your occupation. You're not your possessions. You're not your hobbies. You're fearfully and wonderfully made. God forbid if somebody looked at me and said, oh, you know, Mike, I think he's a fisherman. Oh, you know, Mike, I think he's a steel worker. God forbid. It's not my name. It's not your name, right? My brother Mike's not a stonemason. He's a brother in Christ. Right? The world shouldn't know us by our hobbies, our occupation, possessions. Oh, that's brother so-and-so. He's got a lot of money. It's not who he is. Right? It's not who he is. You're a blood-bought child of the King. That's who we are. That's our name. It's our name. We've been adopted into that family. Our name's been changed, but for the good. I pray that we don't forget that. I pray that the world doesn't try to change that. Careful what you learn. Careful what you partake of. That king's meat's dangerous. I've told the kids downstairs over and over so much that I finally had to say, you know what, you guys are probably tired of hearing a whole bunch of these sermons about what not to do, right? Yeah. But it's important. We need to hear it. We need to hear how dangerous it is. Don't forget who you are this morning. Don't forget your name. God made you. Fearfully and wonderfully made. That's who you are. I'm not one to take a whole hour, so I think I'll be done. It's a good time. You guys can have some fellowship. We'll let that sink in and go around, shake hands, learn each other's name. Right? That's who you are. Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for this opportunity. God, I just pray that that your words will resonate this morning. Thank you for giving us a new name. Thank you for who you are. God, we love you. And just continue to bless this day. Help us to greet each other with love and charity and seek you the more and more. In Jesus' name.